This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Panama Papers data leak comes at a time when eligible Malaysians need to file their personal income tax returns. Stories about how influential people, from world leaders to sports stars, find clever ways to save on having to pay taxes would have bound to fascinate and even inspire many to consider how they can do the same. Minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of governance and integrity, Dato' Paul Lau, was recently quoted as saying tax avoidance to save on how much tax to pay is legal, while tax evasion is wrong. Here is his clarification.
Legally speaking, it is not wrong for anyone to have an overseas account or an offshore company in a tax haven anywhere, because these are legitimate purposes. People put money there to minimize or mitigate, if you like, tax avoidance, not tax evasion. Tax evasion, of course, is illegal. People have it to hedge against currency risk, also as a temporary shelter for investment for multilateral investors from different jurisdictions. But the issue is where the source of the money comes from and the reasons why you establish it. Such account will become illegitimate, or if I can put it, toxic, when that such funds, the sources comes from illicit sources like gains in corruption, fraud, or even from sources of funds coming from criminal activities or underground activities.
Offshore accounts, however, are not necessarily meant to hide illicit sources of income. Dr. Virinder Singh, Chair of Tax and Malaysia, points out there are many legitimate reasons to use offshore accounts.
In theory, there's nothing wrong with having an account or having a company set up in some of these places. If you are moving assets across, assets from which you derive income and that you're paying tax on that income, but the assets are being held by a company in the British Virgin Islands. In theory, there's nothing wrong with that. And you may be doing that to protect your assets from other parties trying to lay claim on your assets. They may decide that you want to have a corporate entity which holds your assets. That could be because you later want to bequeath that particular shares in the company to your beneficiaries, children, and so on and so forth. So people do this for various reasons. And I think having an offshore account is largely because it is easy to set up accounts there. It is therefore said to be convenient, fast, and usually less paperwork involved. So again, there's nothing wrong with planning it in accordance with the law.
Now, the operative phrase here is in accordance with the law. Dr. Virinder reminds us that while there is nothing wrong with using offshore accounts, income derived from work done in Malaysia is rightfully taxable in Malaysia.
There's nothing wrong with moving your assets to a certain location. The difficulty, however, is, I give a simple example. If I were to carry out a transaction in Malaysia, I then decide that, look, this particular commission that I'm going to get, can you please pay it to my offshore account in the British Virgin Islands? Now, there's nothing wrong with it in terms of instructing somebody where you should be paid. But the ethical aspect of this is that if the commission is actually earned in Malaysia, for example, for doing work in Malaysia, providing services in Malaysia, then it becomes Malaysian taxable income. And so that person should be declaring the commission in his personal tax return. Some people have this perception or misperception, really, that because the amount is being credited to my offshore account, it is outside Malaysia and therefore it's not taxable in Malaysia.
So what are the ways in which we can save on our personal taxes? Richard Thornton, an author and a tax consultant in Malaysia with 50 years experience, he has a few suggestions to make.
The one that I would suggest, first of all, and it seems pretty mundane, but it is know all about tax. The more you know, the more you can save. Invest your money overseas. You don't have to pay tax when you bring the income back. What else? You're going to buy a property. Take a loan. You can offset the interest against the rent from the property. Donations to approved charities also count for deduction. We had a famous tax case that went all the way to the Court of Appeal, which is about donations, and that was the case of Rakyat Berjaya, which is a subsidiary of a charitable foundation. The normal way for a company to pay out its profits is by way of dividends. But because this company was owned completely by a charitable foundation, there was an alternative way that it could get its profits into the hands of the shareholder, and that was by making a charitable donation. It worked. You know, the courts decided that there was no tax avoidance.
For those of us who are not quite on the ball when it comes to submitting our tax returns, there is some good news from tax collectors.
The Inland Revenue's press release explaining how they want to give a discount for people who are late submitting their tax return or under-declared their income is taking place now. Start from the 1st of March until the 15th of December. There are a lot of people, they don't fully declare their income for whatever reason, and the thing drags on for several years, and the longer it drags on, the worse it gets, and they're scared to confess. From time to time, the Inland Revenue decide to have what you call a moratorium, they call it in other places. Come in and disclose all your undeclared income, and we'll give you a much lower penalty rate. So that's what they're saying here, without quantifying anything. The first part of it is a reduction in the penalty for non-declaration. And the next part is a waiver of the tax increase that they might have got just for being late with their declaration.
While we do try to save on the amount of tax we pay, it is important not to get caught on the wrong side of the law. Dr. Virinder lays out some common misconceptions about what is legal and what is not as far as declaring your taxes is concerned.
If you were a teacher and you were employed by a school and you get a salary, right, and you pay tax on that salary. But if you then also do some sideline activities such as giving tuition to his children and getting paid for that, and you don't report that income that you get from doing tuition after office hours, that actually is illegal because that's income. The common misperception of everybody is that, well, I report my employment income, what I do on my own time is tax-free. People talk about all that income being tax-free from tuition, and that's not true. That's a total misconception. The issue here is about income. What is income? And there is a lot of misperception. And this happens because people do not bother to look into the law, do not bother to ask professionals. They talk among themselves and they make their own assumptions and life goes on.
As Thornton points out, the key question is whether there is an intention to make money.
Nothing is untaxed unless it is some kind of hobby activity, something you're doing which is for your pleasure or personal satisfaction. Maybe you happen to make a bit of money on the way because you're buying and selling things. But you know, my daughter, for example, she buys clothing and then she sells it and she makes a bit of money doing that. Is it business? She says she does it because she enjoys doing it. She likes looking at the clothes. And when we discuss it, I say, I'm not quite sure you would get away with that if you had to argue before the special commissioners. But it's one of those borderline cases, a grey area, isn't it? Are you really doing it because you intend to make money? That's the acid test in the end. Do you intend to make money when you do this? Or are you just accidentally making money?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.